Welcome to Adequate Yearly Progress, Episode 4. My name is Erin Sterling, and I'm the librarian at Eckstein Middle School in Seattle, Washington. Every episode, I interview a different teacher and find out why they became a teacher, and what they like about it, and what they don't like about it. In this episode, I interview another great friend who works with me at Eckstein Middle School, Stacey Norman, who has been a special ed teacher for 7 years. Stacey inspires me with her creative lesson plans and passion for teaching all types of students, and as you can tell from this conversation, makes me laugh constantly. All right, let's go. All right. Hi, Stacey. I'm glad you're on my show.
Hi.
For everyone listening, this is Stacey Norman. Stacey is a great friend of mine and also a special ed teacher at Eckstein Middle School. She also teaches humanities. She just does a whole lot of really cool things. So, Stacey, could you just tell me about yourself and why you became a teacher?
Okay. It was a split-second decision.
Okay.
Actually. I went to school for journalism originally, but and I love writing and I love reading. And ultimately, I ended up being a teacher after other types of adventures because I love working with kids and I love reading and sharing experiences. So.
Okay. And why special ed in particular?
Well, I actually was subbing in Denver, and I subbed for some special education classes, and I thought they were awesome. So it kind of lit my fire to go into that.
Cool. So, so did you start subbing and then go to school and then?
Well, actually, I started teaching and I was on an alternative program where I was getting a certificate in Denver while I was teaching. They hired me because they needed teachers. And that was the year that George Bush actually passed a law called No Child Left Behind. And during that time, I lost the ability to go through that program. They canceled the program.
Okay.
But they kept me in the classroom. So they let me teach without any training. And so then after that, I was only able to substitute teach. So I had to figure out a different way to get my certificate at that point.
Okay. Sounds good. So what is rewarding about being a teacher?
What is rewarding is it is hilarious because you never know what's going to happen, and you might have an idea in your head about something that could happen with a lesson or an activity, but kids just always find ways to make it unexpected. I think when you work with somebody and get to know them, I think developing relationships, but also just making sure that kids, you know, they reach their goals and they're successful in school, but also that they can have fun in school. I think it's really important.
Mm-hmm. And then thinking back to when you first became a teacher, or maybe even new year, or it could be on a regular basis, but what are some early challenges for you? And then maybe on the flip side, what are some ongoing challenges?
Well, I really just didn't know what I was doing. And even when you go to school, they tell you like all these sample things, and you go and you student teach, and it, even when you're student teaching, it kind of doesn't seem real because you're still kind of under a mentor and you're doing things in that classroom. But I think the biggest challenge is trying to figure out what you're doing. Even now, like this is my 7th year teaching, but I still have those dreams at the beginning of the year where I forgot how to teach, and I go and I stand
too.
Up there in a weird way and I forget what I'm doing, but then it turns out fine. But
right.
I think the beginning of the year is very challenging because you don't know the kids.
Uh-huh.
So you have to figure out who they are and how to work. And so you're always just kind of trying to figure things out. Whereas once you get to know the kids, I think it's just so much easier.
Yeah.
But the beginning of the year is kind of crisis mode where you got all kinds of people reacting in different ways, and you're trying to make it so that it's like a community, but it's just hard because there's 30 kids in there. So
yeah. And are there any things that have helped you in particular become like a better teacher or address?
I think working amongst good teachers is actually what really has raised the bar for me, and being able to go and visit other classrooms. And I think that there's just been really great teachers at our school that we work at right now who
yeah.
are creative, and they're just amazing. And I think that's really helped.
Yeah. It has definitely helped me. What is frustrating about being a teacher?
I think what is frustrating is there's never enough time and there's never enough resources. So as much as, I could really spend 24 hours of every single day planning and grading
yeah.
and assessing and doing all the things that you're supposed to do as a teacher. But you also have to have, I mean, I think it's really important to have your own life and keep your own interests so that you can be mm-hmm. a person. And I think that finding a balance is really challenging. Yeah. So I think the frustration is never enough time. Also, like, how great it would be to just have, you know, classrooms that have iPads and have lots of technology. So lots of the lessons that I think of would involve that. But it's, you know, we're still kind of, I actually have blackboards. So that's where I'm at. Yeah.
That's true. I've seen them.
Yes.
And then I want you to think about what, if there are any moments that come to mind or maybe just general that have made you feel like a really good teacher. Like what's, it could be a specific lesson plan or it could be that something really clicked. But what really makes you feel like, oh yeah, I'm a good teacher.
Oh gosh, I still question that. Still, some days I feel like that and some days you don't. It's just like a roller coaster. But I think, last year I felt like, I was really relieved because I didn't tell the kids I had in sixth grade that I was going to be a seventh grade teacher because I was still just, I mean, I kind of knew, but when I had them in my class and they were so excited to see me again, it was a relief, but also I think it was a validation and they all knew right away, came to me and were excited. So that was really good for me. But also I think just knowing when kids get excited about stuff, you can tell, like, I think it's really important to read your audience. And when kids are doing something else and they're all off in the world, when kids are really into something, you can tell. And it's just so, it's so invigorating. It's so fun. Yeah. So great.
And were there any lesson plans that you've made that didn't go as expected, but...
Oh yeah, all the time. Okay. I did this one, and it's really fun and the kids really like it because it involves Play-Doh, but it's a writing, activity where it's give them Play-Doh and they're allowed to like make a sculpture of whatever, but you give them only one color and then you tell them like you can add something and then you can remove something. So it's an editing type of thing so that they end up with something at the end of their sculpture that's not anything like what they began with. So and it's interactive and they're molding and shaping and they're getting frustrated because I'm saying, okay, well now you've got this, now you have to take something away from it and how you would in writing. And I was being observed for this lesson by my evaluator and, the kids were making some inappropriate sculptures and so, things like that turned, I mean, it's middle school. It wasn't that horrible, but it was still kind of like, I think I need to redirect this person over here. So, stuff like that is, it's to be expected and never, you know, it's...
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment, exactly.
Yeah. What advice would you have for people who are thinking of becoming a teacher?
That's interesting. My daughter actually is thinking about going into elementary education. So she's in college right now. She's taking some classes and I'm actually trying to keep my mouth shut because I'm her mom and I don't want to discourage her or encourage her either way because it's a fine line. But I think it's so rewarding. I think it's also the advice I'd have is that especially the first few years is just really knowing it's going to be a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I think most people who go into teaching do know that and they spend a lot of time creating their lessons and making sure that, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I think when people think about teaching, they're like, oh my gosh, you're so lucky. You get the summer off and how great. You just are like home at 2:30 every day, working these school hours. And it's like, it's so ridiculous because summer is truly recuperating from so many long hours throughout the year. And, I mean, I know also there's other school districts that do year-round school, but those breaks are so important because it is so it's just really physically and mentally exhausting. And so, It's great because you do get to have a life outside of that, but it is really, really hard work. But I would say, I don't know. As far as advice, just do your best and don't be afraid to try new things. And if they fail, it doesn't even matter. Like the kids they're not going to remember the silly activity you tried or whatever. What they're going to remember is the person that you are and how they were treated. And so I think it's just don't be afraid to try new things and...
Yeah. I think that's really helpful because sometimes, you know, as a teacher, you're like, oh my God, that lesson went terribly. Or like you had a really terrible interaction with a student that just didn't go as planned. And so you're thinking like, how am I supposed to repair this? And then And then the next day, it's like nothing even happened to them. They're still in the moment.
Yes, yes. And really, most kids are, they really do think that, as far as the respect for teachers, like, I think most kids get it. And they want to have a good relationship with you. In fact, almost always. It's not like they're, I mean, there's always these little rebellious moments and showing off in class, but I think sometimes I have gone back and said, hey, you know, I remember, you know, yesterday, I hope you didn't take it wrong when something happened or whatever. And sometimes you do have to go back and do a little conversation. And those are the hard moments, but then you feel so great afterwards. Like I know that the students appreciate it. It also shows you as a human that you might've done something quickly or said something, but I think it's humanizing and they appreciate it. And every time I've gone back and said, hey, remember yesterday or whatever, I felt like it has done like so much. Bell. It's so great.
What are you excited about for this year?
Well, I am excited because, well, every school year, actually, starting the new year is very exciting because you're getting new kids and it's very exciting to see who you're going to get.
Yeah.
I'm also starting a new program and I'm moving from a co-teaching model, which I think is really awesome actually. And it works really well with special education kids. But I'm moving to a new program. It's called Access. And so, I'll be actually having my own classroom. And so that's very exciting and a little bit, nervous, but I'm really excited to just, see how it goes and with my own classroom and having kids go out and in, and it'll be a different experience. So
it'll be more like kids coming in and out of your classroom, and then yeah, will you go out to classrooms as well?
I'm going to go out to one classroom that has a lot of kids who need support in eighth grade, but I'm kind of looking and seeing most of the time. I have a couple teachers, instructional assistants that will also be going out also.
Okay.
So we'll just be making sure that they have what they need out in their classes, and I'll have actually smaller classes, which is really great. So I'll have anywhere from probably 6 to 15 kids. Ooh. In my class. So yeah,
that's really great.
Yes.
Are there any students in particular that stand out in your mind over the 7 years that you've been teaching?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're you don't name their names.
Yes, yes. No, I would never. No, I would never. You mean Bob? Yeah, there's always a few. That are that like to whether it's bring attention to themselves or whatever it is that but I really do enjoy students that, like, the ones that are the hardest are the ones you remember the most. Uh-huh. The ones that have the most that are demanding the most of your time and doing the most outrageous things, you have to be able to laugh at it. And I think that's why special ed is the place for me, because I actually really enjoy
the weirdness, the weird and strange,
and I get a lot of those. Yeah, so there's definitely always someone.
What's the strangest thing that's happened in your classroom?
The strangest thing.
Strangest?
Let me think.
Or funny. Sorry, I just
one strange thing. Yeah. Okay, I'll probably be processing out loud. But this one thing I thought of, it was strange and sort of funny, but sort of awkward. So I had these theater chairs on the side of the room. This is just an awkward moment. And they fold up sort of like in the theater.
Oh, okay.
You know, they
yep,
fold
yep.
up. And they're just they're actually just cool looking, but also kids really like to sit on them. They're like velvet.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, it was a larger student in my classroom who's very tall. So he's much larger than a lot of the middle schoolers. And I don't know why he put his foot on there, but it slid down and he got stuck in the theater chair. And it was right at the time when everyone was supposed to leave the class. So he was sort of blocking the door, and I had to get down and wedge his leg out in this very, very awkward way. And he was such a good sport about it, but I just felt so sorry for him because I was like, poor oh my kid. Gosh, poor guy. And it was cumbersome. It was very, I don't even know how to describe this. And all the kids were very, very supportive, and everyone was trying to help. There was nothing they could do. I had to take his shoe off from underneath and like twist his, I almost had to call the nurse. I wasn't quite sure where we were going with it, but that was awkward. But there's so many funny, I don't know. Gosh. I'm sure.
It's good. That was good. That was
okay.
Great.
Okay.
Cool. Well, those are the questions that I have for you, and I'm so thankful that you came on my show.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
That's the end of my show. Thanks for listening. You can find future episodes on adequateyearlyprogress.com, iTunes, and hopefully soon the Microsoft Podcast app. Thanks to the band Inspira's song Follow the Waves for the upbeat music you are dancing to right now. Thanks to freesound.org for the Creative Commons license for user SBYANDIJI's Alarm Bell Sound, user Totia's Yeah Sound, and user Mental Sanity Off for the background chatter sound. Thanks to all of you for listening, and talk to you next on November 2nd.